You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
History is never written in real time. It's always later. It can take years, even decades, until it's processed and often transformed into propaganda. The more time elapses, the cloudier truth becomes because witnesses have memory lapses or they die. If America remains on its current trajectory, falsehoods and propaganda will become history. And everything you're about to hear will be labeled extremist heresy. Few events in life occur in one fell swoop. The Roman Empire took centuries to crumble. Nazi Germany, just a few years. Some banana republics have risen and fallen in a matter of months. In the past few weeks, America received several stab wounds that will prove to be fatal. Unless there's a regime change in November, not just a new administration, but one that will have the guts to clean house, not just with defundings and firings, but using the that J6 version of the judicial system tactics. Imprisonment first, then slate a trial, if and when you get around to it. That's what must happen. Tit for tat, quid pro quo. Once the guilty are neutralized, perhaps then a fair justice system could be reinstated. The exaggerations and fabrications of the January 6th protest, well, it was never an insurrection, it was a mortal wound to America. The Biden regime lied about everything. They called it lethal, when the only death was that of an unarmed female protester, shot at point-blank range by a Capitol cop. By the way, Capitol cops are not really cops. They're kind of glorified security guards with much higher pay and Cadillac benefits. The security guard named Michael Byrd was immediately called a hero after killing an unarmed woman. The illegitimate killing was eventually declared such by Metro DC police. But nobody seemed to care. Byrd was recently promoted to captain. Wonder if that's now in the Capitol cop policies and procedures. Want a promotion? Kill somebody. But Pelosi and Schumer and company managed to accomplish something much, much bigger than lock up several hundred people they didn't like. They've terrorized the opposition with a clear message that if you step out of line, you are going to jail. Whether or not you commit a crime, no bail and fuck you and your silly notion of a speedy trial. It was an intimidation play, same as any other gang might use, from the mafia to MS-13. And that word choice is neither accidental nor hyperbolic. The current regime running America is a criminal gang. They could all be taken down using RICO statutes. But they won't be. Very recently, a former president was tried in several courtrooms in the city that I fled decades ago, New York. I laugh when New Yorkers bitch about the state of their city. They voted for all of this. They made it happen. When I lived in New York, it was a crowded, dirty, depressing place run by leftist politicians and bureaucrats. For a while, it had a revitalization under the 9/11 mayor, Giuliani. During his tenure, crime dropped dramatically. But the leftist crud that comprises most of New York's electorate, well, they didn't like his methods and resumed voting in soft on crime creeps. And now, it's at a new low that has tragic repercussions. Some criminal aliens beat up two New York cops, real street cops, unlike those Capitol fakes. The beating was video recorded in daylight in Times Square. The migrant asylum seeker dreamers were arrested, then released without bail to go wherever the fuck they wanted. By the way, if the term criminal alien sounds unfamiliar, well, that's because it's the only accurate descriptor for those millions invited by Biden to invade America. Over the years, there's been a raft of sugar-coated terms coined to make people want to welcome them. Those terms have included, chronologically, undocumented immigrants. Well, that's a half-lie. Someone who enters the country without going through legal channels, well, they are undocumented, but they are not immigrants. They are trespassers, and trespassing is a crime. Next, they were called dreamers. That was the name of choice under Obama. It stuck for a while, but seems to have lost popularity. Lately, there have been several used simultaneously. Asylum seeker is pretty popular. Asylum from what? A home you don't like? With that rationale, why don't we all head for Beverly Hills or Palm Beach or Newport or any of the mansions owned by multimillionaire politicians and bureaucrats in the D.C. suburbs, huh? Climb the walls that surround them, sneak past the armed guards, kick in a door or window and squat there. And if you can manage to do that without being shot, tell him,
I'm not real happy with my lower or middle class existence. I want a luxury car or three, a home in excess of 7,000 square feet, and a vacation home and a seven-figure income like yours. And until I get that, I'm seeking asylum right here. Now what's for dinner?
Refugees is another popular name for them. And migrants seems to be the latest. That's also a falsehood. Migrants are workers who visit some foreign location to work. Once the job is finished, they go home. Even in the animal kingdom, birds and fish and many mammals migrate, and it's never a one-way trip. But in Biden's America, it is. Verbiage aside, that atrocity in New York has sent a pretty clear signal to the millions of military-aged men who have streamed into the country that they are free to do whatever they want without consequences. It declares them a protected class. Which, by the way, is the most evil and fucked up notion the left has ever devised. It legitimizes racism, discrimination, and sexism by elevating various groups above others. Literally telling them that they are superior to others and therefore will receive special treatment by law enforcement and the judicial system. If a U.S. citizen slugged a cop, he'd be jailed with cash bail and tried for his criminal act. That cop beat down in New York shattered the most basic social contract between government and the governed. The agreement that in exchange for rapacious taxes, citizens can expect a measure of protection from criminals. But when even cops are assaulted without consequence, that social contract is null and void. The moment those criminal aliens were released, every New Yorker should have had the right to acquire a sidearm for personal protection. But that's not the case. The message to the citizens of New York is they, including police officers, are inferior, second-class citizens. The migrant, dreamer, asylum seeker, refugees are a protected class. And if one or more of them decides to beat the shit out of you, you better just take it. The parasite politician who made criminal aliens a protected class is the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. His resume is about the same as most government leeches in these times. Of course, he has a Harvard degree and a brief stint working in the private sector, but according to Wikipedia, most of his career has been in so-called public service. The apex of that career is his current position, which pays a salary of $220,000 per year. Yet according to Forbes and the website Caclubindia, Bragg is a net worth of $42 million. That's stunning. How does someone with that salary in only a few years amass such a fortune? According to this website, Bragg's stock portfolio tops $15 million. He owns 10 real estate properties, 6 luxury cars, $1.5 million in art and antiques, and so on. He gained national infamy when he jailed a 61-year-old man who worked at a New York bodega. That man, Jose Alba, was attacked by two assailants and defended himself with a knife, resulting in the death of his attacker. Well, apparently Bragg doesn't believe in the right to self-defense. And Alba's other attacker, a female, she stabbed him with her knife, but Bragg didn't charge her with anything. On his third day in office, Bragg announced he would no longer prosecute low-level offenses like fare evasion, resisting arrest, or prostitution. He also decided to seek lesser charges for burglaries and store robberies, where the offender, get this, quote, displays a dangerous instrument but does not create a genuine risk of physical harm. So Alvin expects robbery victims to be psychic, to somehow intuit that some scumbag brandishing a weapon is really just pretending. So don't defend yourself. Just be killed. If you're not part of a protected class, your life means jack shit. While New York is awash in blood from violent street crime, Bragg has teamed up with New York State Attorney General Letitia James in an effort to bankrupt and, if possible, jail former President Donald Trump because he's so dangerous to democracy. And so Trump has just been commanded to pay $385 million in fines because they claim he overvalued some real estate in order to secure bank loans. Meanwhile, banks, no strangers to appraising real estate, happily lent Trump the money, which he repaid on time with interest. So where was the crime? In the mind of Letitia James, that's where. And also in the mind of the judge in the case, one Arthur Engoron, failed cab driver, failed musician, failed screenwriter, failed attorney, failed husband with 2 divorces under his belt. But then he got into government. Suddenly, he got rich and famous. Forbes pegs his net worth at $7 million. According to CalClubIndia.com, Engoron owns a home in Greenwich Village, another in Great Neck, a third in the Hamptons, and a ranch in upstate New York. How did he swing all that after 2 divorces with child support and alimony and a salary averaging around $100,000 a year? Fascinating, isn't it? Maybe he's really thrifty. George Soros-backed Letitia James has a resume same as the rest. School, right into government and politics. Forbes says she's worth $15 million and that she owns 7 real estate properties, including a townhouse in Tribeca, brownstone in Harlem, and a duplex in the Bronx. Wonder how those were valued by her to secure loans. Who would look into that on behalf of the citizens of New York? Answer, nobody. The leftists in New York control everything. There is no recourse for their victims and no one to investigate her mysterious sudden wealth. James has been out to get Trump for a long time. Listen to this.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake. I believe that the president of these United States can be indicted for criminal offenses.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He's going to know my name personally.
That man in the White House.
Yeah.
who can't go a day without threatening our fundamental rights.
Yes, we need to focus on Donald Trump and his abuses. We need to follow his money. We need to find out where he's laundered money. We need to find out whether or not he's engaged in conspiracy.
It's important that everyone understand that the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
That sounds like hate speech, doesn't it? She calls Trump an illegitimate president, but fails to say why, didn't she? Yeah. But that was the platform she ran on to get elected Attorney General of New York, which truly is a shithole state. In another speech, she revealed her deepest core beliefs.
To stand up to an administration which is too male, too pale, and too stale. Too male, too pale.
How about that? In one brief statement and chant, she declares that she is sexist, right? Too male, racist, too pale, and ageist, too stale. Incredibly, as she preaches her gospel of hatred and bigotry, she is surrounded by a crowd comprised of many white, middle-aged men. What she and the state of New York did is textbook Marxism and totalitarianism. They weaponized the so-called justice system to bankrupt a front-running candidate, cooked up phony charges to discredit and destroy him. But what the fools who cheer this fail to understand is that this kangaroo court and bias-based decision sets a legal precedent. The next person in Goron and Bragg and James Target might not be an ex-president or billionaire. It could be anyone. Anyone they simply don't like. Just prior to the James and Goron hit job, Trump was ordered to pay E. Jean Carroll $83 million for defamation of her alleged character. Usually such awards are calculated by multiplying a person's annual income by their projected life expectancy. Well, she is 81 years old. Her best year's income was decades ago when she once made $400,000. In what universe is her reputation worth $83 million? The case was never about E. Jean Carroll. It was about bankrupting Trump and destroying free speech. So he said some uncomplimentary things about her. She made lots of nasty statements about him. So what? So there you have three landmark events that shatter the pillars of freedom. The cancellation of free speech. The seizure of personal property by government when absolutely no crime was committed. And the elevation of criminal aliens to a protected class. If that doesn't portend disaster for America, what does? These people claim to be saving democracy as they destroy our nation. They control the levers of power in the courts and government and schools and corporations, and they're pure evil. What can stop them? I don't know. If you do, let me know. Drop me a line at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit thatlarryshow.com, where you'll find hundreds more episodes for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to support this show, click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and make a pledge. Or grab yourself a weatherproof magnetic LUTFA sticker that, of course, stands for Leave Us the Fuck Alone, which is all we really want, isn't it? But those fucking ASTCOs, that's assholes seeking to control others, they just won't leave us alone, will they? So declare yourself and slap a LUTFA sticker on your vehicle or refrigerator. Only $15 or three for $40. Order through PayPal and be sure to mention the word LUTFA so I know that's what you want. And be sure to include a mailing address as well. Thanks for hanging with me once again. I will see you next week, and until that time, hang tough and take no shit.